Welcome, folks. It's almost 9 o'clock. Pam, you all set? Okay, great. Could you do the roll call, please?
Commissioner Gilliland?
Here.
Vice Mayor Handy Peters?
Present.
Vice Mayor Matusik?
Here.
Vice Mayor Nabik?
Here.
Councilman Conroy? Commissioner Curry?
Here.
Commissioner McGurk?
Here.
Councilmember Taylor?
Here.
Commissioner Sowers?
Here.
Councilmember DiLorenzo?
Here.
Councilmember Ford?
Here.
Councilwoman Long?
Here.
Commissioner Rebels?
Here.
Councilmember Patterson?
Here.
Councilmember Denny's?
Here.
Councilmember Cusack? County Chair Davis?
Here.
Councilmember Wagner? Mayor Emmett?
Here.
Vice Mayor Rogers? Councilmember Wheeler?
Here.
Commissioner Shute?
Here.
Vice Mayor Burton? Mayor Gibson?
Here.
Mayor Sal?
Here.
Councilmember Perone is excused. Linda Costello? Tim Berman? Judy Craig? Dustin Savage?
Here.
Jean Ferguson?
Here.
And we have a quorum. And the voting member for the Small City Alliance is Commissioner Shute.
Oh, okay. Again? Okay. Next, item two on the agenda, Pledge of Allegiance, if you would stand. And at the end of the pledge, if you would remain standing for a moment for honor our veterans, military, and first responders.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Short moment. Okay, the next item is public comment. We have two persons that would like to address the board. Mr. Ray Johnson. I'm sorry, Mr. Ray Johnson. Would like to address us regarding the enhancement of the roundabout on State Road 44 and Grand Ave. Sir, try to keep your comments to 3 minutes, please.
My name is Ray Johnson. I live at 1640 Alexander Drive, DeLand. I want to share with you a video that I presented to the County Council about 3 weeks ago. This was put together by David Schroeder and myself for the sole purpose of persuading the council to enhance the roundabout at this intersection. This video illustrates a concept that's not a final design. And what I'm seeking today is your endorsement to persuade the county council to enhance this entrance to Volusia County. As I mentioned in my presentation, about 3 months ago, the county has a wonderful opportunity treating this roundabout into Volusia County with significant signage, landscaping, which is very colorful, indicative of what we have in this county, and a prestigious piece of sculpture will contribute to the enhanced quality of life in this county. I ask the council to enter into an agreement with FDOT and allocate $100,000 to developing this intersection and make it meaningful. Otherwise, we get palm trees and ferns. And my question is that the picture we want to give to Volusia County, or do we want something that has this kind of enhancement? We have an opportunity to create a portrait for Volusia County at this intersection. There are many examples where this has been done throughout the world, but I'd like to draw your attention to what is happening in Sarasota. The city has issued a call to artists, and they are currently reviewing the submissions. The project budget is $150,000 for the first of 16 roundabouts. All of this information is available online. You can get information about the call to artists. You can get information about the whole process. As an architect, I value the opportunity to enhance the built environment, to explore the possibilities, to convey the message that within every project is another experience that may enrich our life's journey, to enrich our aesthetics. I wish that people could be in touch with art as an integral part of their lives. I'm asking this group to reach out to Volusia County, endorse this concept, and ask them to allocate money to make this roundabout a very meaningful experience. Thank you.
Thank you. I do understand that if anybody would like a copy of his presentation, that it could be available. That Lois, contact her, and Lois will make sure.
We'll post this as a part of the meeting record.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, and we have another comment by Big John. Would like to address us also for 3 minutes, please.
Well, Big John, the big house on the hill. Interestingly enough, Johnson, where'd Johnson go? Did he leave? There he is over there. That was very nice, Johnson. I don't know if he can hear me.
Yes.
So, Your Eminence, thank you for allowing me to speak for this few seconds.
Wow.
I'm not addressing you too much, though I'm asking you to help Robbie Gilligan over there because he is a powerful city commissioner. And his only, one of his two employees is the city manager of Daytona Beach, who has told people, the citizens, the taxpayers went out and cleaned up East ISB and picked up syringes and all kinds of nasty stuff on April the 8th. Oh, by the way, when I told Lois the story, she started to cry. She was so upset. So I just want to tell you the significance of this matter. I hate to say it in front of Joyce. Joyce, I'm sorry to tell you how bad this problem is. So the city manager promised to plant dune daisies. And then he came to a city meeting over 2 months ago and promised 60 days they'd be there. That was 60 days after April the 8th. To date, there are no dune daisies on East ISB. And I'm asking this powerful board to do something to help the planting of the dune daisies on East ISB. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Do we want to discuss this at all? Okay. Works for me. Thank you again. Okay, the next item is item 4, which is the consent agenda. We have 12 items on there. Does anybody want to remove for any reason any of those 12 items?
Move approval.
Second.
We have a motion to approve and a second. Any objection to the motion? No objection. Motion is approved. Okay, we go to item number 5, which is the action items. The first action item, which is a review and approval of a resolution 2016-23 to amend the fiscal year 2016-17 to 2020-21 transportation improvement program, and that brings with it an open or a public hearing. And at this time, I'd want to open the public hearing to any comments from the public regarding this. Is there anyone that would like to speak regarding this? Seeing none, I'll bring it back up here. Is there some information regarding a discussion with the board? Just for a refreshing, although it's in all of our information, the TIP amendment is required. It's to incorporate projects that have been left out or need additional time in public review. And it's also to add or roll projects forward. These projects are being funded with a current year funding. And if there aren't any other comments or questions right now, I know Lois has got a burning desire to inform us.
Thank you, Chairman Shoup. Did you want to close the public hearing before I begin my overview?
Sure. I'd love to close the public hearing. Thank you.
Thank you. Just a quick overview. This was a pretty lengthy amendment to the Transportation Improvement Program. Roughly half the projects that were in there, somewhere around 50 of the projects, really included very minor adjustments to a cost element within the project, some as low as literally $200 or a few hundred dollars. More of those were a few thousand dollars. This is something that's a little unusual, and so I appreciate your patience in sifting through those projects. There were also a lot of projects, though, that were of significance. A lot of aviation projects, and again, some of those were very significant. Rehabbing the runway at the airport here, funding emergency generators, constructing airport terminals up in Flagler, and hangars throughout the area at some of our smaller airports. And we don't really spend a lot of time discussing aviation projects. We spend more time talking about surface transportation. But those are important, certainly, for all of our airports. There were a couple of bridge repair projects in there, landscaping and resurfacing, some of the typical stuff that we move into our TIP. There were comments provided at the bottom of each page to explain why that particular amendment was being pursued. And I'd like to just call your attention to, if you missed it, the set-aside funding that's in the Bicycle and Pedestrian Program. And that's our money that we get for being a TPO. And typically it's a little over $1 million a year, but there are some unspent funds that have been dropped in the current year. We have about $2.8 million for bicycle and pedestrian projects. And one of the things that's so significant about that is not only is that more than we're accustomed to, it's in the current year, which means we're on a time clock. But also, and again, this is good news, we also have SunTrail funding a lot of projects. So there are several projects that might be eligible to draw down these monies, but they may be funded with state SunTrail money. And so again, I would urge all of you, if you've got projects on the bicycle and pedestrian list, to speak with your staff and make sure that you know what kind of opportunities exist. Because we're going to be working with DOT, as we have been, to allocate all that current year money. But the department has also made a commitment to start looking out into future years and allocate dollars. So again, we will move a lot of projects from our priority list into the work program. In the TIP. So there a number of projects were added for construction, and I won't go through all of those, but they came in large part from our set-aside list, the Alabama Multi-Use Trail, Flagler Avenue sidewalk in Edgewater, some paved shoulder projects for the county. And another project that's worth considering is there's a PD&E that's going to be funded at on the I-95 interchange at LPGA. And this has been on our long-range plan needs list as an unfunded project, so the opportunity to start doing some long-range analysis of that interchange is, again, of importance to this area. I would certainly hope as well that as a part of that study, we include the technology improvements, which is a project that's on our set-aside list, as we're looking at areas where technology is going to play an important role as well. And then finally, I would, again, pay attention to the fact that there are a couple of ITS projects which extend the existing technology that exists along 1792, adaptive signals, and it extends that project both to the north and south, again, hoping to create greater efficiencies on 1792. With that, I'll open it up to any questions or a motion to approve.
Any questions? Any comments?
Motion to approve.
Second. We have a motion to approve and a second. Is there anyone opposed to the motion? No opposition. The motion passes. Thank you. Item B is review and approval of Resolution 2016-24 adopting the 2016 to tell the TPO survey. I believe everybody should be familiar with this. We had some information regarding this before at prior meetings. Every second year, there's a transportation study with the idea of collecting general input as well as increasing awareness of the TPO and building relationships with other organizations. The results of this survey were presented in June, and I would open it for discussion. Okay, no discussion, no comments. Is there
Mr. Chair? I'd like to move approval of the resolution 2016-24 adopting the 2016 Tell the TPO survey campaign summary.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion made and seconded. Any opposition to the motion? No opposition, the motion passes. Thank you. Okay, item C, review and approval of resolution 2016-25 adopting the US 17 SR 15 multimodal corridor planning study. Phase two of the report. Briefly, US 17 corridor, this is the US 17 corridor study, specific projects and improvement and accessibility and safety along the corridor. Preliminary draft report was presented in May. We have a request now if there's any additional comments that need to be incorporated into the final report. Is there anyone that would like to speak to this? Ron?
I would like to thank TPO and their staff for coming to Orange City and listening to the council meeting and incorporating the ideas into this that we were very concerned about. We received them, we talked about them last night, and it was well received to see that we got what we was worried about taken care of by the staff here. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Lee?
I too want to thank the staff for providing information. Our city planner Mike Holmes gave us a update and went through the presentation that Tyndall Oliver had done, so the commission would actually understand some of the projects that were coming through. As Ron said, it's important to know that this is just a recommendation. There was some concerns from our commission on what they had designed at Beresford and 1792, and again, they putting since we have the new Walmart, what is it, market center coming in, that in order to do a left in, left out, they have to have a roundabout. Then they proposed another roundabout at Beresford that wasn't going to work. So, again, this is just a document to have to look at, and it's not forced that will actually go on in those intersections. So I just wanted to make that clear.
Okay, great. Thank you. Anyone else with comments? Judy?
We at the CAC have discussed this project, and I know it's under study, but we still know that all of the roads that are being developed to be widened only go to State Road 40. After State Road 40, there is the Pearson area where we have the high school, and the grade school is moving across the street, and that means then that the elementary as well as the high school students will be going to that intersection if they walk. We know that it's only going to stay a two-lane highway after 40, and the concern is that they're going to build sidewalks, but is that enough to think about the safety of the students coming from the elementary and the high school there? I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? Lois, do you have any input at all?
I certainly can follow up on Ms. Craig's comments. There are, as she mentioned, two activities really underway. One we'll talk about when we talk about the SunTrails list, and there is a project to construct what was going to be a sidewalk and now will be a trail. And hopefully that will be done close to the opening of the school, but that requires a lot of work. Also, as a condition of opening the school, there will be a traffic study, and I have been in touch in the past with representatives from Volusia County Schools as well as the DMT to look at traffic circulation and access to the school, and that's a requirement that will occur for the opening of any construction project, especially a school. So those two things will be addressed down the road, not quite ready as a part of this particular study.
Okay. No further comments. I'd look for a resolution or a motion for resolution 2016-25.
Mr. Chair.
We have a motion made and seconded. Is there any objection? No objection to the motion. Motion passes. Item D, review and approval of resolution 2016-26 adopting the ITS, the Intelligent Transportation System, Phase 1 report. The Phase 1 ITS study was intended to develop a ITS vision, goals, objectives, also evaluate existing and proposed ITS elements, and preliminary findings were presented at the June meeting. The report was developed in coordination with FDOT, Volusia County, City of Daytona Beach, Palm Coast, and others. Comments that were received were incorporated within this resolution, the final report. Is there anyone that would like to comment on this resolution and this report? Okay, moving right along. I don't see any comments. Oh, Lois would like to make some comments.
I think everybody here, anybody that reads a newspaper or watches the television, has seen a number of news stories about new technology that is going to be rolled out and that is being rolled out when it comes to transportation. And this presents a lot of promise for the future when it comes to moving people and moving people safely. It presents some challenges because it's different than what we've been doing. You know, unlike the massive project that we see out here as they're rebuilding the interchange that everybody knows employs lots of people, technology is quiet. It's not as visible. It is, if you know, as you read this report, which really didn't get into a lot of the technical detail, it's tough to digest. The funding is different, the policies are different, and we're in this transition of trying to develop these new structures. So again, there's a lot of promise, but there's some challenges associated with this. In order to move forward, one of the things that we would like to do is continue this work in the form of a master plan. And that work has been done around the state, in part by the DOT and in part by other MPOs. The cost for a master plan and a part of this effort was to develop a scope for completing that project. It pushes the envelope that exceeds our planning funds that are typically available to us. So it's somewhere between $220,000 and $240,000 to have a complete master plan. We're going to be talking about how to do that. So I would ask you all to keep that in mind, and we'll probably be coming back with a proposal to shift some of the SU funds to support a master plan so that we can move forward with really developing projects and make sure we're headed in a coordinated direction. So I just wanted to put that out there because that'll be coming back before you at some point. And it may be important for you to have those conversations with your staff to make sure you're clear on where your particular local government is headed when it comes to technology, so you know how important this may or may not be for you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I move approval.
I have a question for Lois.
Oh, go ahead, please.
Lois, on this master plan, the ITS master plan, this will be the entire county. It's not east side, west side. It's going to be the whole system to connect it to work as a whole unit.
It will be the entire planning area, but generally these systems are being developed by each county independently with lots of coordination. The city of Daytona Beach, the city of Palm Coast are very invested in this. Obviously, it affects transit, and FHP, and all kinds of entities. And again, in the report, you see over and over again, small bits of ITS have been put out there, but compatibility is a big issue. And overcoming and staying ahead of technology that is changing so quickly. So yes, it will include the entire planning area, but the recommendations and the plan will likely be handled separately for the Flagler Palm Coast area than for the Volusia and its cities.
Okay. Thank you. I'll entertain a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded. Any opposition to the motion? No opposition. The motion passes. Okay, we're in item six, which is presentations. First presentation is a presentation of discussion on updating the interlocal agreement establishing the Central Florida MPO Alliance. It's comprised of six MPOs. The alliance meets quarterly, and currently the agreement was established back in 2005. It's been amended before, and now a draft update is being presented again. I believe Lois is going to discuss this.
I think you've covered it all, as well as the agenda item and the summary itself. It's a resolution that forms the alliance, and it hasn't been updated in quite a while. And this update really was undertaken in part when we were talking about TRIP, and I recognize that the current agreement doesn't recognize our new planning boundaries. So we, as at the staff level, decided to go back and revise it. It has gone before the alliance itself for a presentation, and now each of the groups is looking at it. It's just here for discussion now. Next month, we'll bring it back for approval and authorization to have a rep executed.
Thank you. Ron?
I want to thank you for the letter, Lois. As Vice Mayor DeBerry knows, we got some words that didn't quite make sense about combining this. And so thanks for clarifying that. And I hope everybody takes time to read that letter, because there's a lot of rumors out there that really sound bad for us as a TPO, and it really didn't affect us. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Better actually gone on the record here. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm a little nervous about these agreements we have with Orange County down there. You know, sometimes we get kind of left in the wayside, a couple of projects. We just kind of don't get pushed out of it, but we just get left behind a little bit. So I'm just a little nervous about this this agreement with this thing. I just want that on the record.
Do you have any suggestions to?
I'm still going to look into it more before I come out with any kind of absolute no votes or any kind of things like that. I'm going to get more into this,
okay,
into the metro plan area.
Okay. Ben?
What's his name next door, next to you?
Sorry. Yeah.
That's all right.
Hey, you. My parliamentarian over here.
Yeah. This is probably one of the comments that I make at the county council when everybody says, oh, my God, he's going to go back, relive history.
Back in the day.
Back in the days.
Back in the history.
I remember when the MPO Alliance was created. As a matter of fact, Randy Morris and I, who was chairman of the county commission and chair of the MPO out of the Orange County and Seminole County area, we got together and talked about this, and the MPO Alliance was created with just two areas back in the 90s. And the first project that was created was the St. John's River Bridge. We took on one project, the Alliance, and I'm seeing how it's grown. So it is a great opportunity
for all of our Central Florida area to work together on transportation projects. Look at it carefully, but it has worked well in the past, and it's been working well in the future. So we'll have a chance to discuss it more at the next meeting.
Okay, good. Lois?
Nope. Lee? I sit as one of the representatives for our TPO on this board, and I haven't seen anything in the years that I've been sitting on there that has excluded Volusia County. I've been on the board for 7, 8, 9 years, a long time. I only have 2 more years left. But when we went and ranked the Sun Trail projects for the trail the coast to coast, Volusia was well represented. They look at it holistically and not per county, and that's what I've seen sitting there as well. They rotate who is chair by the counties as well. Volusia's been represented in having the chair and vice chair. So as I said, there hasn't been anything that has come up that hasn't either been listened to or discussed, and they certainly look at it as a holistic area. So as your representative, I just wanted to let you all know that, or one of your representatives.
Thank you.
Deb?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I also represent with Ms. Matusik on the Central Florida MPO, and I understand my chair, Chairman Davis's concerns. He's speaking to another issue that we probably shouldn't even open right here. But this alone is a great organization, and I can tell you, sitting there, it is a holistic approach because you hear what's going on in the other counties and the other projects and how important it is for us to be at the table, and we are. But I have to tell you what has served Volusia the best is just the carpooling one-on-one with Lois back and forth. There has been a huge project that has not just been birthed but funded because of our trips back and forth to this particular meeting. So it's worth it to be engaged. It's worth it to be at the table, and we need to be at the table, and we are represented, and the Sun Trail is a perfect example. And Volusia was highlighted, 2 meetings ago at this particular meeting for everything that we're doing right with the TPOs, with the cities, with the county for the trails. So there's a great benefit and recognition to Volusia County that we don't always get. I mean, you're right. You're right. It's not always there. But in this particular one, thanks to staff here at the TPO and the representation through the years, the institutional knowledge, I think it served Volusia very well. Thank you.
Lois?
Thank you. I always thought it was just the savings in gas, so glad to know it's worthwhile for other reasons. I would just call your attention to the wording in this resolution that makes it clear that this is an alliance. It operates based on consensus. So there is no opportunity for the alliance to require us to do anything. In addition to that, just to come back to Commissioner Saylor's comments, if you all didn't already take a look at the letter that's at your place setting, I was going to cover this a little bit later, but I'll go ahead and speak to it now since it's really pertinent to what we're talking about. Under the FAST Act, there's a lot of rulemaking that has to occur. And something got caught up in all of that rulemaking, and it was a rule that came out regarding the proposed consolidation of MPOs. Yeah. And the basic wording hasn't changed, but it's being interpreted now a little differently, and a rule came out that has a lot of folks very alarmed, and this forced consolidation has to do with the defined boundaries of the urbanized areas that make up an MPO typically. And in some cases, MPO boundaries are formed based on what we understand about the transportation and development in a particular area. And they're not necessarily the same as the boundaries that define an urban area, and the definitions of those are a little different. Well, this rulemaking that came out, or this rule that came out, is going to force the consolidation, if it was adopted as is, of 21 or 22 of the MPOs, of the 27 MPOs here in the state of Florida. It does not affect the river to CTPO. Around the nation, it'll force the consolidation of roughly a third of the MPOs. So you can imagine this has created a great deal of concern. How do you all of a sudden join? What does that mean for your local priorities? And the letter that you see here is support that was offered by the state DOT saying, this is a bad idea. And one of the reasons it's a bad idea is it doesn't really consider what's happening on the ground locally, and it ignores the good work that's already being done. And some of the examples are groups like the Central Florida MPO Alliance. Here in the state of Florida, we also have a statewide association, and we pay for that through taking a portion of our planning funds right off the top. We're the only state that has a statewide association of MPOs. So the coordination that happens here in the state is not typical around the country, but we have said over and over again after MAP 21 and the FAST Act, use this as a template and a guide and an example, because it works very, very well. We understand the importance of regional coordination, but we can do that and still maintain our local autonomy. So, again, I think that as we move forward with discussions on the Alliance and our other activities regionally and statewide, please bear in mind that that's a potential implication that will affect some MPOs around that. Thank you.
Okay. Lois, do you want to transition right into item D?
B?
D, like you mentioned the FAST Act. That's why. Okay.
No, I'll save those.
Okay.
Until,
okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further comments? I don't believe there's any action required. We'll move on to item B, which is presentation discussion of the shared use non-motorized trail project listing. And again, I'm going to turn this back to Lois.
So in March of this year, the end of the month, the Florida Greenways and Trails Foundation announced their top Sun Trail tiers, the first one being the Coast to Coast Connector, which we've been working on, and I think everybody recognizes the momentum there. And then they announced that the Tier 2 project is the St. John's River to Sea Loop, which is tremendously important and valuable to this area. Out of the 300-mile loop, we have, I think, 80% of it within our planning area. So what that means is $25 million a year divided into thirds. A third of it comes to this area to develop those projects. A third of it goes to the St. John's River to Sea Loop, 80% of which is in our area. There are still projects in St. John's and Putnam County as well that will have to be developed as a part of this. Tier 3 is an open call for projects around the state, and those project applications go directly to the Department of Transportation. So this was moving very, very quickly, and project applications for St. John's River to Sea went straight to the department. They have since given us a list of the applications that they received. So this is the best understanding that we have of the project applications that they're looking at and trying to work into their planning and programming. And it's not a ranked list. We moved it in order of projects that are getting ready for construction. So those that are constructible immediately are at the top of the list, and the farther out they are. Again, it's not a ranking. We don't have a process for doing that. We haven't done public review. But DOT does want our support. And so the list is presented here for you all to take a look at. If there is specific support or direction that we can communicate to the department, I think that would be helpful. They are, again, looking at this through the central office in Tallahassee right now, and they expect to have an announcement in the next several weeks. So, again, any support that we can provide to them, I think, would be appreciated. they do certainly want to work with the MPOs, with this TPO, and they've been very good at the staff level and district level in doing that. And with that, I'll open it to any questions that you might have about the projects on the list.
Define support, Lois. What are you asking us for? You're dancing around this word called support. What do you want from us?
I would like us to let the department know that we support the work that they're doing and the programming of these projects. These are all consistent with our regional trail corridor assessment, and that I don't want the department to feel like they're going to get hijacked or ambushed if they come out with a programming.
I understand, and what does that look like in support? Do you want a letter? Do you want individual, the county council, the cities? Do you do you want individuals? What do you want?
Just a vote of support for the work that they're doing.
And that will be enough. Okay, you don't want the expanded support.
We can go as far as you'd like to go, but at the least, I would like to have an indication that everybody is comfortable with the projects on here. We support the DOT in trying to.
I just didn't think. Program. Wonder if you were throwing up a red flag here that we need to rally the troops and make sure our TPO is at the table and still ranked number one. That's what I'm watching.
Okay. I think sometimes when you're trying to move very, very quickly at the staff level, you go out on a limb. And I want them to know that they have our support.
Agreed.
And that they aren't going out on a limb. We support the program. We're grateful.
We're appreciative.
Grateful,
yes.
Certainly. That this project was or this system was ranked high, and I just want to let them feel comfortable that we support what they're doing.
With that, do you want a motion of a letter of support on this particular project, Mr. Chair? I move
that
approval.
That works. That second. Works. Okay.
Second, Matusik.
We have a second, Matusik.
And can how did, when this goes through? Is it a generic letter, or is everybody's signature on this? Can you add a doc page, a signature page, where every representative of the TPO is so recognized in support?
I can do that if you'd like to. Yes.
I think that might add a little strength if they see all the cities and the county and everybody that's represented here in the advisory boards. I think that would be great.
Barb?
Is there a timing issue? Do we have time to do that? You talked about fast-paced activity.
You all will wait around a couple minutes after me. I can try and get your signatures. I think we can probably
I guess I just assume. Well, that's a wrong thing. I should not say that. Mm-hmm. You do not have our signatures on file, do you?
No, of course
okay.
Not.
What's the pleasure of the board? Right now we're looking at a letter. Do we need to have individual signatures?
No, I thought no.
Okay.
I can be clear in the letter that it has.
Maybe just list everybody. Can you just list everybody?
Absolutely.
Just type it. List it. Good.
Mr. Davis?
I've just got a question here. I'm looking over this list. Do we have any more specifics on any of these projects here?
We do have a copy of each of the project applications that was submitted. Some of the projects we have more detail because they were submitted through our application process and are already on our priority lists. Some of the projects lower on the list don't have a lot of detail yet.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And these are not ranked in high priority. They're just ranked there.
They're ordered based on, again, how close they are to the construction phase moving forward.
Oh, okay.
Typically, when we go through a ranking process, it's a series of months. We have public meetings. We advertise and do a lot of things. So I did not want to confuse this with our priority process. I would let you know that in my conversations with the department, it appears as though the list that you see here will close all of the gaps in our area that once these projects are complete. So I don't anticipate a lot of additions in future years to this list, with the exception of facilities that need to be upgraded, where maybe there's only a 6-foot shared path that need to be upgraded to a 12-foot trail. So again, there will be some additional projects that move on in future years, but these projects identify all the gaps that exist.
Okay. All right. I guess I'll get with you later because I don't know about my dear friend the mayor here, but I'm very interested in the ones marked Volusia County and Pearson, and being that's where we're from. So I'll get with you later on more specifics on them. Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor made and seconded. Is there any objection to the motion, which essentially states that we're going to prepare a letter that will be sent in support? No objection to that? Motion is approved then. Thank you. Item C is a presentation discussion of the FDOT Alert Tonight and the Live Tomorrow pilot program, and I understand that Ms. Brenda Young is going to speak.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Chairman and Board. Thank you for having me. I'm Brenda Young with the Department of Transportation, District 5, in the Modal Development Office, and I'm here to give a five-minute update on our statewide bike-ped-focused initiative and our Alert Tonight, Alive Tomorrow program. Our statewide initiative is a multi-agency initiative. So at the table, we have all of the department districts as well as our central office, and also other agencies such as the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles, Florida Highway Patrol, the Department of Health, the Florida Public Transportation Association, and many others. We even have a circuit judge and a trauma surgeon on our team. And we're taking a 4E approach to prevent crashes and increase awareness for safety for people walking and biking. And to do that, we're using a data-driven approach. And so we're looking at statewide the top 10 counties, and even further beyond that, we have some additional counties that are approaching that top 10. So Volusia County is in the top 10. And the good news is knowing is half the battle. So now that we know where we are, we can start focusing on this issue. On the enforcement side of things, we're providing funding to local law enforcement agencies to do extra enforcement for people walking, biking, and driving in the laws that they have to abide by. And we're happy to say here in Volusia County, we have South Daytona and Daytona Beach Shores participating in this program. Statewide, we have 41 agencies. It's tremendous. On the engineering side, we're updating all of our manuals that we use to plan, design, construct, operate, and maintain our roadways. And this is also part of our Complete Streets initiative and the implementation of that. It's all consistent. So we have a lot of guidance for our folks planning and designing. On the education side, we're providing materials to help all of the users of our roadway use it more safely, especially for people walking and biking. We've provided print materials. We also have grassroots education. Statewide, we have a program called WalkWise, which is a 30-minute presentation available to any organization or group to help people walk more safely. We're providing education to law enforcement. We have videos that they can play during their regular roll call meetings, and we have tip cards that they can carry in their patrol cars on all the Florida statutes for people walking and biking. And we're also providing the education for the public for new pavement markings, signs, signals that we put out on the roadways so people can understand what these new devices mean. Part of our data-driven approach is looking at what causes all of our crashes, and we're finding that we have some focus areas that we're developing campaign materials for. And one of our focus areas is impaired walking, biking, and driving, and we have a partnership with Mothers Against Drunk Driving. I have some videos in your handout that you can see in YouTube on those. And another thing we're finding in our data is over 3/4 of all of our pedestrian accidents and fatalities are happening at night. So now we're developing the Alert Tonight, Alive Tomorrow program so that we can focus on nighttime safety. And if you need the information, we have a nice data table. But here's what some of our materials look like. This is Walker. He's our mascot for nighttime safety. And I have a short video that I can play.
Is often fatal. In Florida, 75% of pedestrian fatalities occur at night. Many drivers say they never saw the pedestrian. What will it take to see them? Can you see him now? Drivers, look for pedestrians, especially at night. Pedestrians, make sure you are visible. Alert tonight, alive tomorrow. Because safety doesn't happen by accident.
Purchasing advertising space for commercials, radio, billboards, transit advertising. We also have this short little pop-up ad that's great for display boards that we have in community centers, other places that people are. So if you have any of those places that we could put this, definitely let me know when we can get this to you. And our communication plan with all of this material is multifaceted. So we have the TV ads, radio ads, billboards, transit advertising. We also have our website, and we have our social media. One thing we're finding that is most effective is our grassroots education. And we have an Alert Today Live Tomorrow tent that we'll take to local events where people are. And we have a 10-question survey that we walk people through to see what their knowledge is of the laws and rules for people walking and biking safely. And that's actually the most effective way we're finding to reach people. So if you have any local events, please let us know. My compatriots back at the initiative, they help me to attend all of these events and reach out to the public. And sometimes we bring our mascot walker, so that can be fun for the kids. Does anybody have any questions?
Yes. Of that 75% that are injured or killed or whatever, about what percentage of that do we know of that were people who were texting while they were driving and didn't see? I mean, you could have all the lights in the world on you.
Right.
So is that going to be part of the campaign also, is to make sure? Okay.
Yes, absolutely. And I didn't mention all of our different focus areas, but distracted walking, biking, and driving is a focus area for us as well. We don't have that level of granularity in the data. And just because accidents happen at night doesn't necessarily mean that was a contributing factor, but it is quite alarming that it's that high. So we are focusing on that.
But I noticed in DeLand on State Road 44 out near where I live by Lake Winnemucet, and then coming in, there's a lot of curves. And I know the white line, and there's that little area, and people walk on the right side of that white line, and there's a lot of drivers that think that that white line is someplace where they need to be driving also. So it's I don't think people really understand they're not supposed to be in that area.
Right. So finding there's a lot of information out there that people just aren't aware of. That's why it's so effective for us to do those 10-question surveys. And actually, we did share that with the BTAC committee. If you guys are interested in seeing those surveys, I can share that with you all as well. It's very effective.
Jason?
I've brought this up on the council a couple of times about bicycle safety, and it's, you know, bicycle safety and is a twofold thing. It's not only the bicyclist, it's also the driver. Mm-hmm. You know, and I can't tell you, I've asked the sheriff a couple of times. Now, you made mention that Daytona, South Daytona,
yes,
they're really pushing on the bicycle laws. Have we reached out to the sheriff?
I can find out for you for sure. I know that they've been a wonderful partner. So.
Yeah, and, you know, because, I mean, I drive a lot of the highways here, you know, 44 and 40 and all that stuff, constantly seeing bicycles on the wrong side of the road. I mean, when I was a kid, we were going to school and all, we had bicycle safety classes we had to take as young children.
That was back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day. I mean, back when, you know, the dinosaurs were still roaming.
Three-wheelers.
Yeah, three-wheelers and all. I mean, we had these required classes we took. You ride on the same side of the road. You don't ride against traffic. You ride with it for, you know, closure rates and all this other stuff that people don't understand. Today, I'm driving up 44. Matter of fact, this morning, I'm coming up Highway 40 coming in here, and there's a guy out there on a bike, and he's, you know, he's really hammering down. He's got the little, I don't know, the aerodynamic helmet on. He's wearing the spandex. I mean, he's just really going. It looks like he's training for the Tour de France on the wrong side of the road, coming at me at 25 miles an hour as I'm driving 60 miles an hour towards him.
Yeah.
one mistake on either part, it's going to get bad. Yeah. Also, I noticed we have a lot. How in depth are we really getting with the younger, with the children to understand this? Because, I mean, we're still getting calls about, you know, bicycles, children, pedestrians, school zones. This is, I don't want to go down that road, but I'm getting these calls again.
Yeah.
How are we getting into the school system and saying, look, if you're going to ride, going to walk to school, ride your bicycle, you need to follow these rules. Are we getting into that?
We would love to get into that, and we've been trying. We do have what we call safety towns that I believe Volusia County Public Schools has a portable safety town. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, some of us over here are really old, and I forgot my hearing aid at home.
That's okay. I appreciate you letting me know. The microphone was angled improperly. We would love to get into the schools, and we entirely agree with that. I know Volusia County Public Schools has a portable safety town. I think our safety office worked with them on that. But we would, I guess, I could say it would be very helpful to have extra support to get into the schools. And I really don't know what that entails. Mm-hmm. I know our safety office has been looking into this. So if anybody here knows of better ways to get in with the schools to provide.
Well, I think Lois might know, but okay. Yeah, I mean, you have my whatever I can do to help you to get into the schools, because this education, I mean, it's followed me all the way through my life. Mm-hmm. And I think it would follow the younger kids today, you know, and to help them out with their bicycle safety. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
One of our resident bicyclists, Lee.
And I think it's a great program. And there are programs already in the elementary schools. Bike Florida, which is a statewide non-for-profit that has been in a lot of these areas, does provide grants for the Volusia County School Board to send teachers to property to learn to do bicycle and pedestrian safety. And that's already in a lot of those schools. It used to be run by Bill Poniatowski, and I don't know who it is now, but it's run through the coordinator of PE. Stephen? Who's running the programs for the school board now as far as the bicycle and pedestrian part of that, where the teachers, actually the PE teachers, are teaching, and we've sent trailers and bicycles into a lot of those schools?
To my knowledge, as of last year, Cookie Grafton was in charge of that initiative. She's based out of Atlantic High School. Now, the school district did have a committee dedicated to these issues. And that committee was led by Greg Aiken. He was promoted to another position last year.
Yeah.
And
Stephen, I'm not sure they can hear you.
And so I'm not sure if they're active. I haven't heard much lately from them.
Well, and that's something I think we at the TPO or staff can, you know, can help with. But you're right, getting into the school board isn't always easy. But if you can piggyback and partner on a program that's already been approved, and that's where the delay is getting a new program in, but all you're doing is enhancing what is already in the schools. So that might help you a little bit quicker on that. But one thing that's I haven't seen is a lot of education in the colleges. All the colleges have now come in. Stetson University, we're working with the county on getting some ped lights on Amelia to help the students get across. And there would probably be a good audience if you hit the major university, Bethune-Cookman. Stetson's an all-walk campus. Embry-Riddle, Daytona State College, and work with them to help educate the college kids as well. And you need to do something about this Pokemon thing.
We just said that.
Yeah.
And take the earbuds out.
Yes.
Yeah, no earbuds. Actually, it's against the law to drive or ride a bicycle with earbuds in. It is.
That's correct. And actually, that's an excellent point. I'm glad you bring that up. My colleague from our safety office actually is at Embry-Riddle today doing some of that. So, yeah, we're happy to help out in any way we can.
I can give you the name and number to the public director at Stetson University, who happens to be my husband. So I can get you in to Stetson. So, but that's a education piece that seems to, you know, to be missing is getting the information, you know, to the college kids that are using those facilities as well.
Thank you.
Lois, did you have a comment?
I was just going to suggest that we get with Brenda and talk about ways that we can partner and supplement, as Commissioner Matusik was pointing out. We've been doing helmet fitting and outreach to the schools for years as well. And sometimes it's a lot easier if we all go in. You know, certainly teachers and PE coaches really appreciate having an opportunity to bring somebody in to help with that education, and we can certainly do that.
There's no contact information in our presentation at all.
Oh.
So, I mean, no name, no phone number, so it's going to be hard for us to get your message out if we don't know who to tell them to contact.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
Jason?
Thank you, Chairman. We do a lot of education for kids. In New Smyrna Beach, we have a problem with a lot of cyclists blocking roads or not riding single file. Can you tell me what the law is on that and whether or not we're making any effort to educate adults? Because I seem to see a lot of kids who are doing the right thing with helmets and doing the right things when they're young, especially. But the problem I'm having from my constituents in New Smyrna Beach, along A1A and the North Causeway and along Faulkner, is they're impeding traffic. They're riding two and three out in residential streets. And the problem is, and this has been going on for years, and I've personally tried to reach out to them, talk to them a little bit. What are we doing to try to share the road as opposed to they want to share the road, but it seems like they want to impede the traffic also. And right. They become very aggressive when you try to talk to them about it. They take it very personal. So what is the state, or can the state do anything to try to educate the other side of this too?
Absolutely. And actually, we're working with the Florida Bicycling Association, who's reaching out to local bicycling clubs on behalf of our Alert Today, Live Tomorrow campaign. And primary focus, as you've probably seen in the materials that we've shared, is the older users. I shouldn't say older. They're not children, I should say. Non-children users. And yes, a lot of the children are doing the right thing. Fortunately, they're learning the right thing. You can ride two abreast on our facilities by Florida statute. But yes, we are reaching out to folks so that they can understand what the laws are and share the road properly with everyone else.
So two riders out is legal?
Yes.
On residential roads, so basically blocking the lane of traffic.
Yes, they are considered by Florida statute as a vehicle.
Vehicles.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay. We could probably go on with no disrespect intended, but we could discuss bicycle problems for quite a while. I do know that Stephen has some brochures in his office that will also give you New York State, or New, I'm sorry. Boy, slip way back.
Whoa.
That's 12 years.
You wow. Yankees never learn.
That's it.
Yeah. Another way back when.
Let me change that up here, okay? Anyways, Florida, he has the booklets and the rules and regs and so on. So if anybody would like to, they could get that information. I know Stephen would have it for you. Okay. We have another presentation which deals with critical urban and rural freight corridors. It's a little bit of the confusing with some of the information you may have, and I know Lois will straighten us right out on that.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun conversation.
Yeah. I remind you, we're going to keep this to 5 minutes for presentation.
I'm missing Ryan Marks today. He's the freight coordinator for the department, and he had a conflict and wasn't able to be here. So I'm going to fill in as best I can, and that is the FAST Act, again, the transportation bill that we're operating under, established the National Highway Freight Program. So one of the programs that's being funded
to the tune of a little over $1 billion every year, is the National Highway Freight Program. A subset of that is the primary highway freight program, which primarily consists of the interstate system. Okay, so the interstate system forms the primary freight network. That's logical. Each state has the opportunity to add to that critical urban corridors and critical rural corridors. These are corridors that are important to the state, each state, in making sure that freight traffic moves efficiently. But there are limits to how much each state can add. So the list that you have in your agenda for urban and rural corridors has been developed by the state, Florida State Freight Office. And they've put that out to all of the MPOs around the state, and they are asking if there are suggestions for any additional corridors to this listing. And more than looking at the listing is probably looking at the map that was included in your agenda, because that starts to paint the picture pretty clearly. And I think if you've driven around the state, you recognize corridors like State Road 27 or 301 do provide important links for freight carriers. So on the urban side, the limit is 10%, or in the case of Florida, it equates to 160 miles. And on the rural side, it's a little over 300 miles. So the list that is being suggested by DOT includes all of the corridors that we are allowed to include without exceeding those thresholds. So I would share with you that anything that we would suggest to be added means that something else has to be taken off. So it's not merely a matter of crossing a threshold for a corridor that we think is important to freight, but it is being more important than something that's already on this list. And if you look at that map again, you'll notice that there are a number of corridors that you might have expected to see on this list that aren't. There are certain connectors to, for example, the Port of Tampa is upset that there are some connectors that they feel are important that aren't on here. So again, it's not just a matter of meeting that criteria. I would also share with you, if you look at this, you get a sense of this is expanding the interstate system. That's really a part of what this is doing, is looking at where the expansion of the interstate system might need to occur around the state. And they're looking for connections primarily to support freight activity from various ports. You know, that's been a big initiative in this state as well as around the nation. So we looked at Volusia County, and while we have distribution centers opening up and we have last mile issues, we were not able to identify any corridors that we would recommend from the staff level to be added to this list. And so it's not here as an action item, but I'm certainly able to take any suggestions if any of you feel like there's something missing that we should be considering on this list. I would tell you that it is not dependent on the freight plan for the state. It is not dependent on emerging CIS designations. These are corridors that carry high levels of freight traffic that are considered of national significance. With that, any questions?
Jason?
Oh, sorry, that's...
Oh, okay. We're not on bikes.
No bike.
Ron?
Wordsworth, at the Florida League of Cities Transportation Committee meeting last week, the subject was brought up there, and they said that the FDOT has already started working on the deep draft port transportation routes coming in and out there. So it was kind of interesting to see this going both ways.
Thank you. You're looking for any changes or any additions that any of the board members have by September?
Well, we have to
provide comment if we want any changes to this by September 5th. And again, we were not able to identify anything. I think the threshold is very, very high. This is going to be revisited once every 5 years. I think there are probably opportunities in the future if we think something is of great significance. But I think the likelihood of making a change to this, that's a steep, steep uphill climb.
However, if anybody did have any comments or changes they come up with tomorrow or within before September 5, make sure they get a hold of it.
Correct. And I did share this, of course, with the TCC,
right,
the technical committee, and there were no concerns or suggestions expressed there.
Okay.
Have you reached out to the trucking communities?
Well, certainly in the development of the freight plan itself here at the state, mm-hmm, that is the case. I can't really speak to all the coordination that has happened through the statewide freight office, but mm-hmm, it has been significant, certainly in the development of that.
Yeah, because I've looked at this map, and there's a couple of roads that I've ridden on in a truck, you know, that are not on this map as being a freight road. You know, and I'll tell you, these truckers, to avoid a city, to avoid all the traffic, they will go up Highway 20. They will move around through the woods, through Ocala, just to avoid having to stop a 100,000-pound truck. I mean, it takes a lot to stop it. It takes a lot to get it going again. So, I mean, the less it can stop and go, the more money they're making, the more money they're saving, the better for the environment. And all, there's a long, long, long list. All right. I will reach out to my contacts in the trucking industry and say, hey, if you guys have any questions, call you.
That'd be all right. And again, I don't think that there are probably all the corridors that the state would like to see, but there is a limit to how much they are allowed to add. And so this is their representation of the most critical, as the title states.
Okay, if there's no further comments, we'll move on to item E, which is Mr. Ferguson's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Today I wanted to point out some really good news on page 116 of the agenda. Finally, we've got State Road 415 from the Volusia County line to Rita Ellis Road complete and accepted. That should mean no more work being done out there. We've got completion on a depression repair on 15A near Brandywine. That one had the northbound lanes of 15A shut down for almost 2 months, but that's over the traffic now. Moving on to page 117, we've got the system-to-system interchange work remaining at an estimated completion date in spring of 2018. And the good news is we're projecting all travel lanes open on the I-4 widening project by sometime in October. That won't mean all work's complete, but it will mean that you won't be having crossovers any longer. Moving on down, the resurfacing from St. John's to Saxon on I-4, that one started just, about 6 months ago, and we're projecting completion early next year in spring. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. That's good news.
I have a question.
Sure.
Mr. Ferguson, I want to see you before you leave. I want to talk to you about what Mr. Johnson was talking about earlier. So
The roundabout.
Okay.
We'll move on to the executive director's report.
Well, regarding the first item on the update of the connector study, environmental study for the connector between I-95 and State Road 417, I was optimistic at the beginning of the month that I would have some information to share. I have been and reached out to the Florida Turnpike, and I have not been able to get any information or scope of services for this project, but my understanding is they have been in consultation with their consultant firm, and again, I'll continue to pursue that. With regard to FAST Act, of course, I've talked about two items earlier in the agenda. That was signed into law by the President in December of 2015. It's a five-year bill, and it carried forward a lot of programs that were established under the prior bill, MAP 21.
And whenever there are major changes, a lot of rulemaking occurs. And they have schedules for that rulemaking and for certain activities, and those schedules seem to get delayed quite a bit. But we are approaching a point now, several years down the road, where decisions are being made. And so over the next couple of meetings, I'm going to come back with some presentations about how some of these programs may begin to affect our organization. That will include performance measures of the system. We need to begin tracking and monitoring. That's going to be tied to our programming of projects. So if we say we need a project for congestion relief, then there's an expectation that we're going to see delays, traffic delays, decrease. And we've got to start linking those together between what we measure and the state of our system, the transportation improvement program, and the long-range plans. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about those deadlines. Eventually we'll have to, as SunRail moves forward, make a change to this board. And there'll be some other items. And again, so I'm going to go back through some of the funding and some of the changes that we'll start to see being put in place over the next few years. But just to give you an idea, the first deadline that will affect the MPO is not until February of 2018. So we have lots of time to continue working through and talking through this as we have been doing at the state level. We also, on that same thread, we have a congestion management plan. We've given you some presentations on that previously, and we're starting to finalize a report. It's not really a policy-driven report, but it does give us some insight as to these performance measures when it comes to congestion and safety and some other items. So it's the congestion management piece as well as our first stab at delving into the performance measures that we're going to have to start tracking. So again, I'll roll out a series of presentations in coming months on these items. And that's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Any questions?
I'm waiting for member comments.
Okay, I'm going to start, right, member comments. I'm going to start with, were you going to make a comment?
Two, yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm going to start with Judy Craig. Do you have any? We'll move around this way.
Yes, thank you. If you look on the page where the CAC attendance record is, where the vacancies are at the bottom of the page are considerable. Those of you who represent these areas, we would appreciate it if you would look into thinking about appointing representatives from these areas, because it makes a big difference when we're having our discussions. Thank you.
Okay.
No comment.
Lillian Place is having a wind down Friday. If you need a break, stop over 5 to 8.
Those of us that was at the Core League Cities Conference was really welcoming in a new president who is an MPO president. So it tells us we have a little bit of knowledge working with us.
Good.
No comment.
You're limited to two.
Two comments?
Very short ones.
Just very short. Just a little quick update. I attended the Florida Transportation Builders Conference, which was actually three deals in one, which is the MPOAC Alliance meeting, the Florida Transportation Commission meeting, as well as the Transportation Builders Conference, and Lois was there. And so a lot of big things happening. I've never been to a Florida Transportation Commission meeting, but one of the things they took up was all the various transportation, like the links, bus services, bridges, and everything, anything that has a board of directors that's collecting toll money or whatever. They really tear into them. They have 12 items that they have to make sure they meet, and some of them aren't doing a very good job out there. So So I was glad to see that this commission is really looking after the taxpayer dollars that's being collected as they're traveling around. But that's a quick update.
Good meeting, Mr. Chair.
New York.
New York.
Sorry about that.
Good job.
I just wanted to wish our very own Penny
Curry really had to do that, didn't
a happy 50th birthday. I said make it big and heavy.
Jesus,
and keep it that way.
Yeah, sing.
Oh, no, you don't want to hear me sing. No, 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 no.
Yeah, we do. Get the black balloons out.
Thank you, Jason. I'm still going to...
I know, but it's worth it. It'll be worth it. Whatever you bring, it's going to be worth it.
I have a couple things some of y'all may be aware of or not. There's been a change at the Florida Department of Transportation involving SunRail. It is no longer being headed up by Secretary Downs. It has been put into its own separate division, and the new executive director is Nicola LaCordi. The city of DeLand sent Secretary Boxhold a letter letting them know that we are still interested in the SunRail and wanting to meet and discuss this with DOT and the new executive director. So we haven't set up that meeting, but just so everybody is aware of that change. And on top of that, for those that may not know, Secretary Downs is going to be retiring in January 31st. She has been a great advocate for District 5 and this TPO, getting us projects and money. And I would like to see us somehow recognize her at a meeting before she retires, and maybe not just a certificate, maybe, you know, something. I mean, she has done so much, and DOT plays such a big partnership, and she's been the champion of SunRail and all of our projects as money. So I don't know if the executive committee wants to take that up or whatever, but I just kind of wanted to make sure we had enough time to look at doing something like that for Naran.
Okay. We'll look into it.
Stop.
Big shoes.
Chris?
Let there be cat.
Okay. Next meeting is September 28th. And as far as I know, we're adjourned.